Welcome to Christ Church Cathedral on this, the evening of the second Sunday after Pentecost. He fed them with the finest wheat and satisfied them with honey from the rock.
Thank you. light and peace in Christ Jesus our hope.
Thanks be to God.
Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Blessed be God forever.
Holy, immortal One,
have mercy upon us.
Creator of the universe, watch over us and keep us in the light of your presence. May our praise continually blend with that of all creation, until we come together in the eternal joys which you promise in your love, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Royal state has been yours from the day of your birth.
to St. John. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh.
The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate, and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever."
He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?"
This word is hard. Who can listen to it? Hard. In Latin, durus. Possible meanings? Difficult, harsh, austere, unfeeling, like iron. In this evening's reading from St. John's Gospel, we hear the reassuring words of Jesus, his bread of life discourse, words that are meant to challenge but also offer comfort and reassurance. And like all promises that are both challenging and reassuring, the people react in a very predictable way. This word is hard. It is difficult. It is harsh, somewhat austere, unfeeling, like iron. Who can listen to it? Why this reaction? It reminds me of a famous Johnny Cash song, "The Wanderer." I stopped outside a church house where the citizens like to sit. They say they want the kingdom, but they don't want God in it. You might say that Johnny Cash's song is durus, difficult, harsh, austere, unfeeling, like iron. It cuts to the bone and reveals the darker subconscious of the people. They say they want the kingdom, but they don't want God in it. Jesus' free gift to the people is the free gift of the kingdom, eternal friendship with God. In the verses leading up to today's reading, Jesus reinforces the fact that it was not Moses who sent bread from heaven when the Israelites were starving in the desert. It was not Moses who sent manna from on high, but God, the same God who freed them from slavery in Egypt, who led them, a pillar of cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night. God, who divided the Red Sea, whose hand drove back Pharaoh's chariots. God, whose death angel passed over the houses of the Hebrew slaves, God, whose presence filled the Holy of Holies, whose voice breaks the cedars of Lebanon and makes the oak trees writhe. And in the courts of the house of our God, they cry, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. Jesus reveals the will of God. I don't call you slaves. I call you friends. Listen to the number of times Jesus talks about the will of God, even in the verses leading up to today's reading, all taken from chapter 6 of St. John's Gospel. Here, verses 37 through 38. All whom the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I most certainly will not cast out. I have descended from heaven that I might do not my will, but the will of the one who sent me. Here also, verse 39. This is the will of the one who sent me, that I shall lose nothing out of all that he has given me, but shall instead raise it up on the last day. Or what about verse 40? This is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and has faith in him might have life in the age, and I shall raise him up on the last day. What is the will of God? That no thing and no one is lost to eternal destruction, but that everything and everyone is raised up on the last day. It is God's will to give his people the gift of everlasting friendship, a new covenant, a new offer of relationship in the flesh and in the blood. But how will the people respond to this promise? How do I respond to this promise of friendship with God? Jesus, sent by God as the anointed, God in flesh and blood, Jesus, the one who is able to ratify the promise as the true bread from heaven, imperishable bread, bread that will nourish body and soul. This is good news indeed. And at first, the people are eager. They want to receive this bread, food that will heal them, restore them, animate their bodies and souls. Nourishment that the Son of Man will give you. And the people respond emphatically, Sir, give us this bread always. But then disappointment. I am the living bread that has descended out of heaven. And the people go bananas. Isn't this Joseph's son? Didn't he grow up on the other side of the tracks? Who the hell does this guy think he is? What on earth has happened here? It's like spiritual whiplash. One moment, the people are ecstatic, begging Jesus, give us this bread, give us this bread, always. And the next moment, they are incredulous. This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? Such a quick turnaround. Anticipation turns to disgust. Open hearts freeze into hardened hearts. The joy of give us becomes the lament of durus, difficult, harsh, austere, unfeeling, like iron. It's a Johnny Cash moment. It's a Hillman moment. I stopped outside a church house where the citizens like to sit. They say they want the kingdom, but they don't want God in it. Søren Kierkegaard, Danish philosopher and theologian, calls this taking offense at God. People don't have a problem with a deistic idea of God, a God who is mighty, a God who is impersonal, a God who is powerful. In fact, it's actually easy to dismiss that sort of a God. Nobody seems at all offended by a God who's too powerful and too almighty to care. Quite frankly, why should I care about a God if God doesn't care about me? But what offends people is the God of Christianity, a God who comes among us in the flesh and in blood, a God who suffers as one of us, who lives as one of us, experiences life as one of us, sympathizes as one of us, and journeys as one of us. And from that point of view, from the bottom of the human barrel, in flesh and in blood, from death, lifts all up to God in a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. I will raise it up on the last day. Well, that's a cause for offense. Because if the God of Jesus is the living God, the true God, then that places a demand on my life and my soul. It is a cause for offense. I cannot accept Jesus as my Lord and deny his active presence in the world, drawing all things to him. All of this stuff in me and around me, seen and unseen. Earth, rocks, dogs, cats, birds, stars, planets, space, pain, suffering, injustice, joy, love, flourishing. It is the stuff that makes up the all that Jesus speaks of when he says that I shall lose nothing of all that he has given me, but shall raise it up. It's so much easier to believe in a God who is too mighty and too powerful to care, because such a God demands nothing from me. and so I would be justified in dismissing such a God. Perhaps this is the God, perhaps this is the bread that the people wanted Jesus to give them. The idea of a God with no demands. But instead, Jesus offends by offering them the God whose offer of friendship requires nothing more than an offer of friendship in return. But this is a hard teaching, and who is willing to accept it?
Hear, O Israel,
the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first and the great commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these.
My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior.
For you, Lord, have looked with favor on your lowly servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed. You, the Almighty, have done great things for me, and holy is your name. You have mercy on those who from generation to generation. You have shown strength with your arm and scattered the proud in their conceit, casting down the mighty from their thrones and lifting up the lowly. You have filled the hungry things and sent the rich away empty. You have come to the aid of your servant Israel to remember the promise of mercy, the promise you made to our fathers, to Abraham, Sarah, and their children forever. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Remain with us, Lord, for the day is far spent and evening is at hand. Kindle our hearts on our way, that we may recognize you in the scriptures and the breaking of the bread. Grant this for the sake of your love. Amen.
From Bethlehem to Nazareth, from Jerusalem.
heal the sick, to mend the brokenhearted, to comfort the disturbed, to disturb the comfortable, to cleanse the temple, and to liberate faith from convention.
Let us gather our prayers and praises into one and pray as our Savior taught us. Our Father in heaven,
hallowed be your name.
Your kingdom come,
your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Now my tongue the mystery tells. Therefore we before him bend knee.
Let us bless the Lord. Alleluia.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia.